Pastor, thank you so much for the invitation to come tonight, and thank you all for being here. It's fun. This part is fun for us. We talk to some missionaries and like, oh, itineration and traveling, and it's hard, yeah, but it's fun because we get to meet people like you and people that are out there being the church, doing, and it's more than just doing church. It's about being the church. So thanks again for the invitation. We, in Spanish, we say, más allá. And as we prayed about what we felt like our heart was for what God has called us to do, we believe that he's called us to be church planters. We have been doing short-term trips for a long time to Peru, over 19 years to be exact. And we always knew at some point we'd go back long-term because God is doing amazing things across this planet, across this earth. And it's a reminder that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And we are his vessels, and he's called us, and he's anointed us to go and to preach. And that's what we're preparing to do as we come and visit with churches like this one and all of the other great churches really across this country. We've been to lots of different places. Thank you. Thank you for being the church. Thank you for going after God. Thank you for leading us into worship. You're absolutely right. Sometimes it's nice just to throw your hands up and just let it all hang out in the presence of God. Because no matter what your month has been like or your week has been like or your year has been like, God can meet you and he can change and he restore. So tonight we're going to share about our vision and the mission that God's called us to improve. And then I'm going to share from my heart to your heart about a word that God has put, I think, on my heart for you guys tonight. So with that said, help us today by saying, más allá. Can you guys say that? And in Spanish, that just means beyond. Beyond, help us to go further, help us to find those places. And so we want to introduce our family to you, who two of them are in youth group and one's sitting here on the front row tonight today, and my wife's going to introduce them to you.
I am real quick, though. I just felt like the Lord, as we were worshiping, kind of even jumping off of Más Allá and what that means to go beyond. That's who our God is. A God who goes beyond. And as we began to sing about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who was and is to come, I felt like maybe there's someone in this room who sang those words and said, the God that who was and is to come, this great big God. And sometimes it's not that we don't know God, but we forget that this God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is our Father. He is here. He's right beside us. The same God who created the universe is the God that wants to be so intimately close to us. He wants to be a part of every detail. Every detail. Those things that we think he does not care about, he does. And I don't know who that's for, but be encouraged that the Lord is saying, I am here like your brother. Right next to you. I have never left you. I've never forsaken you. There's not one time, one moment that I haven't been right by your side holding your hand. Thank you, Father. And so we are super blessed to be able to travel around and to meet all kinds of people to share about what God is doing in Peru. And so our family gets to do that. So there's a picture of our family. We've got three kiddos. We've got Emma, who is 14. Jamin is 12. And Jenna is 11. And we're so excited that they are called to missions too. It's not just Ben and I. Ben was 10 years old when he was called to missions. In a service just like this, a missionary came to speak. And he knew, man, I'm going to do that someday. We met on a short-term trip to Peru in college. I was 19 and knew in that very moment, Lord, I'll be back someday. And how many of us realize when God begins something, he's faithful to complete it? So it's been a long time, years coming. We had kids and thought, well, we don't know what that's going to look like. And we were in kids ministry for 15 years. And when we came to Texas, we love the North Texas district. And so we have been super involved in camps, and our kiddos started going to camp when they were 5 years old. Jamin was sitting in the altar at the age of 5 after his first day of camp, and so still, I thought he was asleep. And I thought, well, it's his first camp. It's okay. He'll get lots more, you know. And I said, bud, you take a little nap? And he said, no, mommy, God was speaking to me. And I said, well, what was he saying? And he shared about, God told me that I'm going to be a missionary as a kid. And I'm going to go into dangerous places. And I'm going to tell people who think that they know who Jesus is how to have a real relationship with him, how to read their Bible. And so then it was in that moment that I knew it's not just us that he's called, but he's equipped and anointed our entire family to go to Peru, to this area, to share the gospel.
And so we wanted you to see a picture of the city of Cusco. City of Cusco is about 550,000. They live primarily where you see those buildings and shacks. And if you've been to South America, you know kind of what the houses look like. They're just made out of whatever they can get their hands on. And that's where the 550,000 people are focused, right there in the city. But God has called us to go más allá. Because what you don't see in the background is Cusco is a city actually surrounded by the Andes Mountains. So in those communities, there's 5,000 unreached communities that have never heard that Jesus is the Son of God, have never had the opportunity to respond, to say, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to enter into my eternal relationship so that I can stand before God. They've never had that opportunity. And so when we've been all over Peru, we've been to the jungle and to the big cities, but when we put our feet on this terrain, God began to draw our hearts and say, I'm going to call you back here because I've called you to go and find those people, find those communities, establish relationships, build friendships with these families, because we want you to remember a name tonight. His name's Elisban, and we'll talk to about him in just a second. But we believe that in those 5,000 communities, that means there's 5,000 young men just like this guy, Elisban, who can hear the voice of God, who maybe have already heard the voice of God, now get a chance to respond to that voice of God and begin to pastor their own communities and take the gospel más allá, take it further, take it beyond where it is now to where we see through eyes of faith that it needs to go. And so what's interesting about this city is to be a Cusqueño, to be a person of the city of Cusco, is to be Quechuan by nature. And that comes with years and centuries of steeped religion where they worship 14 gods daily, yearly, sacrificing, believing that these gods are going to do something for them that no other thing can do, because they haven't met our God. They haven't met the one God who does have the power to heal and to save and to transform lives and to restore marriages. That's our God. They just haven't met him yet, but we want to change that.
Absolutely. So in the next slide, you'll see our friend Elisban. So in this picture right here, you can see he's holding up a little certificate. And so he had just finished a 12-week discipleship course. So this group of men had given their life to follow Christ. We have a good friend, Eric, who just spent time in these communities, and we were able to go and do short-term trips with him there. And so this was right after we met Elisban. And so during those things, he learned things that we learn in Sunday school, you know, about Jonah and about creation, just very simple things. But he knew there was more. He knew that there was something different about our God, something different than anything he had ever experienced before. And there was a fire that lit inside of him as he began to recognize the calling and the anointing that Christ had on his life. The picture right next to it is our family with Elisban last August when we took our kids on a vision trip. We got to hang out with Elisban. Elisban, now with his parents, they're the pastors of their community. And so they, if you go to the next slide, you can see every Wednesday night and Sunday night, they gather. It's 45 people fit in that tiny room, smaller than this stage, and they are digging into the Word of God, taking time to praise the Lord. And then God is like just doing some really incredible things. Elisban called Ben a few months ago and said, young people, they want more. They want to do something. They want their own meeting. What do I do? So Ben gave him some basic things to kind of get a youth group started. So they're meeting on Saturday mornings, 30 young people in their backyard. And so they're working now with an architect to build a church on their property. And so that means they're giving up income. In Peru, agriculture is their way that they gain money, and so they're potato farmers. Interesting fact, there are 4,000 different types of potatoes in Peru. So that is my bucket list. I want to try every one and mark them off. So next time we come back, I'll let you know how far I've gotten. But and so but they've given up their property to build a church and a training center. So how amazing is our God? So as we're going to talk a little bit about praying for us, but as you pray for us, pray for that community, Pucamarca, that God would give them all the resources that they need to build up this training center. And so we believe that there are 5,000 more at least funds, and it's our job to go and find them and equip them to be the pastors and the missionaries of their communities.
That's right. And so as church planners, we can't do it alone, and we wouldn't want to. We wouldn't want to do this without the local church, and that's where you guys come in. And so as we visit churches, we want to encourage you first and foremost to pray with us, pray for us. Pick up a card as you're walking out the door tonight and stick it wherever you pray, or on your fridge when you go to eat in the middle of the night, where you see our faces, and stop and pray for us. You know, it's funny, because that's where we do all of our praying, right at the refrigerator. But pray for us, seriously. Because we're going into spiritually dark places where the enemy does not want to let go of the control that he's held for centuries. And so he thinks, the enemy does, that it's his territory. He's fought for it. He's won it. But we go as spirit-filled believers and we say, no, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And so we walk like Joshua did into Jericho and say, this is the Lord's. And we're going to mark it and claim it for his. But that's spiritual battle and spiritual darkness. And when we fight those things, it takes a toll. And so, without going into all the detail of witchcraft that exists in these places, know this. Peru has the world's second most number of shamans, witch doctors, in the world. Why? Because for centuries, that's how things got done. You wanted something, you went to the witch doctor, and the witch doctor cast a spell or said an incantation and cast a spell, a bondage over your family. You got a benefit. But you are in spiritual bondage and darkness. But the Lord is beginning a revival. The Lord is coming soon. We know that. The time that we have to do these things and work in the harvest field are short. We need you to pray. The church needs to pray like never before, not only for this nation, but for all the nations. And I thought about the overwhelming call to prayer this morning when I was in my quiet time. And I said to the Lord, Lord, how am I supposed to pray for everything? It seems like every time I turn around, someone's saying, pray for this, pray for this. But we pray as spirit-filled believers, as the Holy Spirit draws us into prayer for something. And so we're saying, if you see that card with our faces on it, with the names of our children on it, and the Holy Spirit draws you into prayer, it could be for a very specific reason. So do please pray with us. That's the power of being in this as a body and doing missions together as an entire church.
Absolutely. And we covet your prayers, but we realize that, you know, we're a team together. And so as you guys decide, hey, I want to be a part of this and what that looks like, it's a partnership, and a partnership goes two ways. So we want to know how to pray for you as well. So we would love for you to connect with us. Grab one of our prayer cards out on our table. Another way you could do it, it's got all of our information, our emails. It's got a Ben's phone number and our Facebook, which is Harper's Masaya. And you can find that on Facebook, but it's on our card as well. Another way that you can connect with us is through our monthly newsletters. And so we like to send newsletters out just to let us know, hey, this is what's happening, and this is what you guys are a part of. What you guys are, because of your prayer and your financial support through the church, what is making a difference. And you can sign up for those newsletters really easy. You could even do it right now by pulling out your phone, just texting our last name is Harper's to 33777. So it's super easy. It's just Harper's to 33777. It just asks for your email address and your first name. And it takes like 5 seconds. And if you don't have texting and you'd rather not do it, we've got a notebook out there. You can sign up for it and we can get you all set up and ready to go.
Yeah, and support us as you already do with the missionaries that we saw out on your board. Keep giving to your local church. Your local church is the best mission-sending organization that could possibly be. Give to missions. When you see our face, give to missions at your local church, because that's what's keeping us on the field. That's what's keeping us in these communities. That's what's pushing that gospel further than it's been right now. And so we don't want to lose a single moment, a single opportunity to go into one of these very dark places and just take the love of Christ with us and watch how it just breaks the chains. Because one of the stories that we like to share is about an experience that we had when we went to one of these communities on a Wednesday night, this community of Pucamarca. And as we always do at the end of the service, we invite people up for prayer. And, you know, when you do those moments of prayer, sometimes they become mundane. But there was something different about this night, because in walks this this woman who was older. She was probably 60s, 70s, and had spent her life working, you know, sowing, digging potatoes out of the ground, just hunched over. And much like the story of the woman in the body in the Bible who was just afflicted and bent over and just in so much pain, this was her. And as she walked up in the line of prayer to receive her warm blanket and prayer, the Holy Spirit moved in the room, as only the Holy Spirit can, at his pleasure, at his leisure. And as we began to pray for this woman, we put our hands on her, and she stood straight up. She began to cry, and she began to shout, because it had been years and years and years of being in pain, but the Lord healed her that night. Why does he do that? Why does the Lord heal some as in a miracle, in miraculous ways, and not others? I don't know. That's his call. All I know is that he did it that night. And that acts as a sign for the unbelievers. So when they see that, these men who make their sacrifices to these gods know that our God is the real deal. Our God is greater and stronger and more powerful and more mighty than any God that they've sacrificed to over the centuries. Because this God, our God, Jehovah God, is the God who heals. And that's what we want to leave in your hearts as you see our faces. We want you to remember two things. We're here to take the gospel of Masayah. We want to do it together. And we need your help to do that. So thanks again, Pastor Mark, for inviting us. But I want to shift gears a little bit. And just very briefly, I want to share a word from my heart to yours about what I feel like the Holy Spirit's put in my heart for you guys tonight. We speak to a lot of churches, and I genuinely carve out some time to say, Lord, what do you want to say to this church? What's fresh and new for this people tonight? I don't know your situation. I don't know what you walked in the door with, but I know this. We're the church who's called to be missionaries, and I want to encourage you with this, that you are missionaries as well. You're missionaries to your family, to your communities, to your workplaces, to where you shop at, to where you go to the gym at. You guys are missionaries as well. And so I want to kind of put some things, some tools in your mind, so for you to write down and kind of jot. Because as I was taking a trip to Big Bend, Texas, just a couple years ago, and as I began to do that, we take this hard journey. It's a long hike up the mountain and a long walk back down. The Holy Spirit brought back to my mind a time where I had taken a retreat with him and carved out some time, some 5 days to be exact, just to listen to his word. And as I walked through that campground, the Holy Spirit began to say to my heart, seek the perimeter. And that's all he said. Three words and nothing more. And so I literally walked around that campsite for 5 days, just kind of chewing on that. The Holy Spirit brought that back to my mind as I'm standing here at the base of the mountain at Big Bend, looking way high up to see the peak of the mountain, and then the low desert coming back out, the high desert coming back out of it. God began to birth some things in my heart, and I want to share them briefly with you this evening. You see, the first thing that the Holy Spirit reminded me of is this. Every Christian, every unbeliever is on some kind of trail somewhere. And so as the culture in front of us begins to shift and change, and we begin to see this widening path that anybody can just find their way to God any old way, the Holy Spirit brought back to my mind, this is the church, and I've got a plan for it. And so I want you to consider something tonight. There's trails that have already been blazed. There's trails that are already known in front of you. You don't have to recreate the trail to the Most High God, because it's been paved by the saints, the blood of the saints, and the word of their testimony. Hebrews 11 says, we're surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses who are actively watching and cheering us on the way. But there's something also very interesting about this. These trails that you're on, it takes a little bit of perseverance to get there, but I'm not going to talk about the perseverance part of it tonight, because I want you to see something. Because Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 says this. It says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And I had a hard time with that. Do you guys have a hard time with that one? I do. Only a few find it? Well, man, that kind of takes the wind out of my sails. As I'm going around sharing about the good news of Jesus Christ and inviting my friends to the mission, inviting my friends to the goodness and the fullness of a life in Christ, and Jesus is standing here saying, okay, guys, but only a few are going to find it. That's a hard truth to swallow, but it's still the truth. So if only a few find it, then guess what? As soon as it takes the wind out of my sails, it actually puts it right back in my sails because it motivates me. It gives me a challenge. And I'm saying to myself, okay, well, if only if you find it, then use me, Lord. Send me to be one of those persons that helps someone else find the way to that difficult, narrow path. Help me be the one that looks at them on the path below. That's why that leads to destruction. And help me be the one that bridges the gap and says, come up with me. I know a better way. It's hard. It's difficult. This Christian life is not easy, but I want you to come with me. This is the heart of a missionary. And let me remind you, you're missionaries too. As you walk out that door into this community, especially at this time of year, when all of the joy of the season begins to be sucked away, find it again and say, Lord, give me the joy of my salvation. Restore that back to me so that when I walk into my workplace, when I walk into my family's meetings and parties and dinners, I can take the joy of the Lord with me and they can know, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though my life has been difficult, even though this year has been straight from hell, I can go in with the joy of the Lord and know that He is my rock, He is my fortress, and He is my reward. So there's a few rules that I want you to consider on how to do this. So as I was chewing on this, as I mentioned, he said, stop. Stop and look around you. And I call this the rule of reconnaissance. Just take a good, hard, unbiased look at your surroundings. So after you've evaluated your own walk, has the enemy stolen your joy? Has he kind of knocked you down? Has he kind of discredited your witness a little bit? It's yours. The Holy Spirit's faithful. He says, come to me. I'll set you right back on the path that you're supposed to be on. You're not off like the enemy tells you that you are. You're still on the path. Once you're there, look around because you're going to see things through spiritual eyes that you may have not looked at for a long time. The Holy Spirit might put a specific name on your heart. He might send you and put you in a difficult situation where you're required to be the Christian that you say you are. Do that reconnaissance and begin to ask the Lord for those things. As you walk around your community, begin to pray and say, Lord, send me someone across my path today that I can impact for you. And it's that ripple effect, right? So what I want to stress to you, though, is in all of this, when I was in camping, I looked up on the wire, like a telephone wire, and there were a bunch of birds just kind of camped out together. And the Holy Spirit dropped this truth in my heart, and it's pretty simple and basic, but it's profound as well. Because He said to me, birds of a feather flock together. Sin lives in its own little subcultures. You don't have to look too far to see how people are thinking together, whether it's the homosexual community or it's the atheist community. They all have this group think that identifies them. So if your family members are caught in one of these subcultures, know this, they're surrounded by other people that are just like them, and they're feeding into their mentality. You just have to be the bridge that breaks that. So you have to identify that subculture and know that that mentality is out there and begin to break it. And so I want to go quickly through these rules. And I want to go to the second one because this is a powerful one. Like I said before, as we step into these dark places to begin to bring the light to them, we encounter resistance. This is rule number two, and it's the rule of resistance. The enemy doesn't want to give up his ground. This is why Paul calls it a good fight. Expect it because it's there every single time. If you want to see a breakthrough in your marriage, if you want to see a breakthrough in your family, if you got a loved one who's caught up in some kind of addiction, and statistics say nearly every family does, some kind of addiction, if you want to see a breakthrough, then expect resistance. This is why you should expect it, because when Daniel received his vision from the Holy Spirit, this is what he wrote. He said in Daniel chapter 10, verse 11 through 12, "Daniel, you're a man who's highly precious. Consider carefully the words I'm about to say to you. Stand up, for I have now been sent to you." And when he said this to me, I stood trembling. "Don't be afraid, Daniel," he said, "for from the first day you purposed to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. However, the prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed me for 21 days. Resistance. Resistance in the spiritual, because we don't fight flesh and blood battles. We fight spirits and principalities. But guess what? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me because he's called me to preach good news. And the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead now lives in this mortal body. The same Spirit. The same Spirit that saw people come back to life. The same Spirit that moved and eyes were opened to see for the first time. The same Spirit that saw a broken leg and a broken heart and mended it and then restored that person, not just their leg, but their salvation as well. This is resistance, and we expect it, but we don't have to worry about it, because you have the same Spirit in you that Christ had when he walked this earth. And it's powerful, and it's effective, and it will tear down strongholds if you put it into action. Here's rule number 3. I call it the rule of rebuilding. Look for where that fence has been broken and ask the Holy Spirit how he can help you mend that fence one more time. This is what it says in Proverbs 2. How to make your fence post deeper and stronger? Accept it. Accept his words. Incline your ear and listen to him. Spend some time in prayer listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Call out. That means lift your voice. You know what we do in prayer sometimes? We say the prayers silently in our head. But there's something significant that happens when you stop. Get the prayer out of your head and you put it in your mouth and you begin to pray out loud and you begin to walk around that situation with your words and you begin to say to those walls, "You're going to fall. I pray over my family. I plead the blood of Jesus over my daughter. I plead the blood of Jesus over my father-in-law. I plead the blood of Jesus around them and I declare them free in Jesus' name. For the power that you and authority that you have put in me, I believe with all of my heart, church, that this is a season that we're walking in. As things begin to crumble around us, the Holy Spirit is shifting and moving the church and strategically positioning the church to be the fence repairers, to be the menders, to bridge those relationships as only love can do. But you've got to listen and you've got to discern and you have to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. This is rule number 4, and it's my favorite one. It's the rule of the river. Now, if you're an outdoorsy kind of guy, which I'm not, but if you are, this is what they say. If you're lost on a path somewhere and you don't know where to go, hike until you find the river. And once you find the river, that river is going to take you downstream and you're going to find your way out of your problem. And so I found myself on that same camping trip one day, and I found myself at the bank of the river, and the Holy Spirit said, "Get in." Now, it was March, and it hadn't warmed up quite yet, as March tends to do in Texas. It's a funny thing. And it was cold, and I didn't want to get in the river. But I know that I heard his voice speak to me in the same way that he told me to seek the perimeter. And I told the Holy Spirit, "No, I'm not doing it. It's cold. I don't even have a change of clothes." He said, "I don't care." I said, "Get in the river." "No." Do you guys argue with God? It's not a good idea, but I do it anyway. That flesh fights. And so I stood there for a long time. and I battled in my flesh and in my spirit. But slowly I took off my shoes and my socks and I rolled my pants up, and then I realized even if I rolled my pants up, it probably wasn't enough, so I tried to get them up as high as I could, and I walked in to the river about ankle deep, and he said, go further. But it's cold, and I really don't want to get wet. Go further. And so slowly, very slowly, I walked deeper until it was past my knees and past my waist and up to chest high. And I could begin to feel the strength of the river wrapping around me. And maybe it was hypothermia, I don't know. But that's when the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, this is where you need to be. Because in the center of the river, the enemy cannot find you. The stench of the world is gone and you're untraceable. You're hidden in my presence and I am surrounding you. The strength of the river is washing away all the worries and burdens and cares and sins of this world. And in my presence, you're made new. Remember this. Remember to stay in the river, because if you're in the river, your job is to bring other people to the river as well. Because why does David say, blessed is the man who stays by the banks of the river and soaks up all that water, and he's strong as a tree that others can grab onto. I'm saying, church, be the anchor. Be the roots. Get those roots deep down and soak up that water so that you're strong, so that when those storms come, you're standing steady. Church, thank you for being here tonight. But hear my words well. You are a missionary too. Put those four rules into motion in your life, and you will see all of the things that we sing about on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. You'll begin to see it happen. Not when you want it to, necessarily, but you will begin to see things shift and move. Pastor Mark.